Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hi, this is Paco Romain.
And I'm George Chen, and you're listening to SupDoc,
a show by doc fans for doc fans.
And today we're recapping the 2019 HBO documentary series, I Love You, Now Die, by director Aaron Lee Carr.
I Love You, Now Die centers around Michelle Carter, who stands trial for sending text messages to her boyfriend Conrad Roy and encouraging his suicide. This two-part series explores their complicated relationship, drawing on thousands of texts exchanged over 2 years, chronicling their courtship and its tragic outcome.
Some of the themes we talk about with our guest Florentina Tenace in this episode include mental illness, loneliness, pop culture, technology, and how this bizarre tale led to a deadly convergence.
Plus, we get into The Staircase, how women have been historically perceived, plus cast this doc in other hilarious moments.
Florentina is a San Francisco-based comedian who's performed at Cobb's Comedy Club, The Punchline, and The Comedy Store. She produces a monthly show in San Francisco called Bottomless Standards at the Milk Bar.
And now, here's our talk with Florentina. Thanks, guys. So we are talking about the HBO two-part documentary series, I Love You, Now Die, with comedian Florentina Tenace. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I was really excited when you messaged me and you said, have you seen this documentary?
Yes.
I Love You, Now Die. And I had just watched it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had just watched
it. We kind of watched it together.
We watched it together in separate locations.
Love it.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. And then you were like, I have a lot of opinions. And I was like, please come on our podcast.
Yes. And here we are.
And now here we are.
Before we go any further, I guess we should let our listeners know that if you're feeling suicidal, if this triggers anything for you,
too fucking bad. Oh, sorry.
What if you just did a full-on Michelle Carter in that moment? I was going to read the go to Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255, or text Florentina.
Or
just
try
text
bleach.
Florentina.
Just try.
She'll tell you what to do.
Yes, she will tell you what to do. That is a good point. If for some reason you need to call 1-800-273-8255, operators are standing by, or email Florentina at florentina.bleach@gmail.com. First of all, there's so much to talk about here.
But so much.
I would like to start with Aaron Lee Carter, the director of this.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Lee Carr, yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen Mommy, Dead and Dearest?
No, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't in the headspace to watch this. I'm assuming she that's a child abuse, right?
Yes.
That's not dress up.
Yeah,
I couldn't watch it, but I know the gist of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he did the documentary as well. Yeah.
She did. Yeah.
Oh, she. Oops. Yeah. Okay. Assuming.
Wait. Was it child abuse? Because she was over 18.
Well,
I mean, it started as a child.
Yeah. I mean, she got her like 100 surgeries that she didn't need. And
No, but by the time the murder part happened, she's technically.
I'm saying child abuse as in what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah.
It would be hard to defend her as not a child abuser, the mom.
Yeah.
But it's like Munchausen by proxy or whatever the fuck that word is.
Munchausen.
Yeah. Oh, Munchausen. Yeah.
And then also just because she killed the mom when she was 18, that doesn't mean that, you know, her mental, like, emotional and mental capacity wasn't stunted because of her mom, right? Like, her mom is just constantly feeding her these lies and isolating her, and like obviously she didn't have a normal childhood, or
so you know the case. Then you didn't see the film, but you know the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's a wonderfully made documentary by Aaron Lee Carter, who made I Love You Now Die, and it has the same themes. It's weird. When I was watching this, I was like, man, this reminds me of Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. Just, I don't know why, but there's some like the style of how the documentary is made. And then I was not exactly surprised to find out she made it. So I thought that was kind of interesting. She's really young. She's like 30, the director.
Mm-hmm. So in that, well, not movie, but in the case, she went to jail too, right? Because it was like premeditated murder or something like that. Even though she didn't kill her mom.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend killed the mom. And so
a lot of by proxy, just everything by proxy over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole by proxy thing, which is like a whole nother. So let's just get into that. I mean,
George, you're a
lawyer, right?
Yeah. That's clearly welcome to my office, as you can see. Everyone has a cat in their office, right?
Most legal. If you defend hippies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Aaron Lee Carr. I was going to also double back to that. She is the daughter of David Carr, who was a New York Times writer. And she just wrote a memoir recently about like kind of having her dad as like a journalistic mentor. So she is really interesting. Yeah, she's really young and really successful and really and has kind of a niche. Also, I feel like HBO gave her way more money this time than she did with Mommy, Dead, and Dearest. I feel like the footage just looks better.
Do you
feel that way? Like, and like just the amount of like, just the production value of this seems to be better, even though I don't know like if she was shooting the courtroom stuff or they just got that footage or something. So,
It does. It seems like they got a lot more money for this. Well, I mean, Mommy, Dead, and Dearest was such a hit documentary. I'm sure they're just like, okay, let's, and then she just made a one about the gymnastics.
Wait, what?
Scandal.
Oh, the Larry Nassar thing?
The doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just came out recently, like after I Love You Now Die. Her newest documentary came out.
Crime is like totally hot right now.
I think HBO actually, even like this is part of a series of shows that HBO is breaking down into like two-part true crime shows. So this is like one of the first ones of that. So there's a whole bunch in that series too. Yeah.
Anything's better than The Staircase, honestly. Like,
wait, what?
Paco loves The Staircase.
What?
Did you say anything's better than The Staircase?
You like The Staircase?
Oh, my God. Controversy.
All right. Oh,
Jesus.
It's like he shot it himself.
Well, kind of, but like it's an awesome,
so pretentious.
It's an awesomely made documentary, though, series.
About,
You see the first, did you see the first part and then they added a few more?
I saw the whole thing.
But did you see it when it originally came out?
No.
Like 1,000 years ago?
No. Okay.
You saw the newest?
Yeah.
With the
So is it additional or is it they reshot the
both. It's additional and they reshot some stuff. But I think it's awesome. I think it's awesomely made. I'm not defending Michael, whatever the fuck his name was.
What did you like about it, though? I have to know.
Well, I love...
If we could be friends.
Because it's, that style of documentary filmmaking is something I love. I love the, like, mise-en-scene kind of idea where you have an encased documentary film crew with the family. Like, Capturing the Friedmans. Have you ever seen that documentary?
I don't think so.
It's an incredible doc. It's old.
Wait, is it a different documentary about the same case?
Yes.
No, it's a different... That's not the same case. It's a different case, right?
It's a wholly different case. Sorry, I was reading...
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's just, Mike, I love documentaries that have film crews that are, like, with the family, that are, like, in a part of it as it goes along. And that's kind of what I liked about The Staircase, because they were... That documentary film crew was there before the trial. You know what I'm saying? Like...
Right. So you're saying you like the whole feel of the documentary crew. It's kind of like The Office, but...
It's a lot like The Office.
But
I think
funnier.
They cribbed a little something from The Office.
But funnier. Yeah, exactly.
Controversial today.
Yeah. No, I love that kind of stuff.
Right.
I love true crime.
Yeah.
I love when they have trial shit, man. I love when you can see the trial. I hate documentaries where they weren't able to get access to the trial.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, you're right. They had a lot of content.
Yeah.
Almost too much where I was just like, why am I watching this guy drink wine in such a pretentious way? Like, I think they could have just made him look
good.
He's a
pretentious guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just... Or, okay, I did like that the camera crew was there because they caught him in a couple of lies that were just so good. He's like, I would never have sex with a man. He's lying. And then later on, he's like, well, define relationship. You know?
Define man. Yeah.
Define penis in my butt. I don't know.
That is true. What was it? Michael Bennett? What is his name? Mike? Michael Anderson? I can't remember.
We'll add it in post. We'll add it all in post.
Oh,
we'll add correct information in post.
Perhaps. I've been wanting to do that documentary on this podcast forever.
Oh, you didn't yet?
No, because it's hard to do a 13-parter.
I haven't
finished that thing.
Honestly, you can condense it because a lot of the footage is just useless. Like, I think there's one where it's just like him taking a shower. I could be wrong. episode 3, he just ate a banana. Like,
right.
It was a little drawn out.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but I love those kind of, like, Making a Murderer. I'm sure people had problems with Making a Murderer because it was so long and so drawn out, but I love those things, man. I'm such a sucker for, like, documentary series.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it was very one-sided, so I wonder if the family was hoping, if they had all this raw footage of just like day-to-day life, if maybe the dad could appeal to people more. Like, he's just this regular guy, but it just went the other direction.
Yeah, it did go the other direction.
It could definitely hurt you.
I don't think regular
so
guy when I think of that guy at all. Yeah.
No. Didn't he have like a cravat or whatever?
Yes, I think he might have.
But I think he was smoking a pipe. Am I just making stuff up?
No, he was smoking a pipe. He's an author. He's like, that's what authors do. They live in New England. They drink wine. They kill their wives. They smoke pipes.
Do you think it was a coincidence? Okay, clearly we're going on.
I told you there'd be tangents.
This is now officially the Staircase podcast. Yeah. So I forgot what our main point of this was, but
do you think what?
The owl did it? I've been hearing the owl.
I was going to say something.
Do you know about the owl defense in that case?
No, what?
They found microscopic owl hairs and feathers in her hair. And she could have been attacked by an owl, which
I thought you were
going to
say they found an entire just feces pellet with mouse bones at the scene. Yes.
Yeah. She ate an owl. No, but like they think that she could have been attacked by an owl. That's how she got all the lacerations in her head. I'm just saying. I'm not a detective anymore.
Although, to be fair, it was crazy how they couldn't replicate exactly how she got hit. And so that was interesting. But the fact that like his first wife died in a similar way, I'm like, are you just that unlucky or?
Yeah. Yeah.
I propose we do a Patreon bonus episode about this.
Yeah. About the staircase. I mean,
join our Patreon. Yeah.
Which is what makes the documentary so fascinating is the fact you could talk forever about fucking documentary.
There's so many different angles. Yeah. And
you could talk at least 13 hours about it.
For sure.
Yes, exactly.
Let's get
back to I Love You Now Die. What are the themes to this? This is one of the things when I rewatched it, I thought about like the themes to this doc. Like, what are some of the main themes for you guys?
Mental health.
Oh yeah. Of course.
And also how who's really responsible? If it's about like, hey, she knew that he was going to harm himself or whatever, so she, she should go to jail for it. Like, well, then aren't the parents just as much in the same boat? Because they knew his situation. He tried to do it before. And like, I just think it's easier to blame. I like their point that they made, that it's like kind of a witch hunt, that somehow women have a power over man, that it's just so irresistible. You guys are going to do anything we want to. Can I have some gum?
Yes.
See, like, you know, it's just so ridiculous that you would just
perfect example.
Do.
Perfect example.
Oh my God. Holy shit. You just fucking, Jesus.
What a witch.
Jesus. I'm on some sort of hunt right now. That's fucking hilarious. I literally just handed her some Mentos gum.
I saw it all happen, like, with my eyes. Not, the podcast listener can't see what just happened, but I just saw Lucy with the football and Charlie Brown just trying to kick it.
That's probably not helping my case.
That is hilarious. Do you actually want some? I don't know what to do.
You can't read my mind. I can't believe you.
Oh my God. That's funny.
Eat all of that gum. Eat all the gum. Yeah. Put all the gum in your mouth. Chew all the gum at the same time and swallow it.
You're such a stupid loser. Pick me up and take me to school.
Okay.
But it reminded me of like Amanda Knox, you know, in that documentary and that story. It had the same kind of the femme fatale, you know, with like that head detective being like, a woman can do whatever she wants with a man, you know, because he's, you know, all Italian and shit.
Well,
yeah,
there's
like sort of a generation gap thing too happening, because there's like basically they talk about technology, both this and Mommy Didn't Dearest. It's like Nicholas Godejohn and, you know, Gypsy had their whole relationship through the internet, right? And it's sort of like, it's unclear, like, if Conrad and Michelle, like, maybe saw each other in person, like, 5 times total. They kind of brought that up. So it's just completely, like, this, they both have these fantasy worlds that adults don't understand. Also, there's no way the adults can penetrate it, really. And I think that's also culturally, like it's just like, what are these teens up to? They're texting each other to death. Remember like the Momo thing that happened a couple months ago where they were saying like there was like this like sculpture, like the scary looking sculpture that was making children self-harm. It's kind of like a similar thing. Like people, like really? it's got a scare, you know, generational scare element to it too. Yeah.
That's weird. What reminded me about the Amanda Knox case and this case are kind of similar, because the media was all on it really quickly, just like demonizing the woman involved. But the difference is in Italy, they are very superstitious, like extremely superstitious. So, and a different element too in that case was that it happened in Florence. And there is this thing in Florence called the Monster of Florence. And because there was a serial killer there, and it was like it spanned three decades. What was happening is like a couple would have sex in the car, and the man would, and the woman would get murdered in a very specific way. And for Italy, they are very superstitious, and they thought it was like witchcraft and all this weird stuff. But also they have their system is working against whoever's like the prosecutor, because like if you lose your case, then you're basically like your career is over. And so I think also the prosecutor for Amanda Knox was like very much into like, oh yeah, of course this is like a witch, like satanic ritual, because in their culture that is embedded in it. And so they quickly were like, yeah, she's a witch. But like in America, do we really have that where we're like, oh yeah, she like she's a witch? Like that seems so
Marina Abramovich
values here.
Do you remember that thing with the Marina Abramovich where it was kind of like pre-Pizzagate where they were like saying that she's like a performance artist. There was a documentary about her, but they're saying she was doing like spirit cooking, and it was like Satanism and pedophilia and all this stuff. So it's sort of like the scare tactic against women still, you know, in that regard. But I think that inspector in Amanda Knox worked on that Monster of Florence.
He
case.
Did. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did,
so that was like his, he brought all that baggage.
Yep. He
his
brought
like,
it all
you know,
back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, wasn't there a doctor or someone in I Love You Now Die that said that women, like men are scared of women? Wasn't that part of this documentary?
Did he say that?
Yeah. Someone in this doc was like, well, men are scared of women, you know?
I think,
like,
it was that witch thing. Yeah.
And they'll do anything that, you know, a woman will say if they're attracted to her or whatever.
But
do you want some more gum?
I don't know. I'm scared.
I do think, though, an American history, there's been a lot. I mean, obviously there's the Salem witch shit that happened in our history, and there's also, I think, a long history of like satanic stuff, you know, that
the Commonwealth the Commonwealth that keeps coming
out. Massachusetts it's super Massachusetts, you're right.
Most Massachusetts thing about this film, because I have my answer.
Everyone's accent, probably.
Yeah, the defense attorney, like Ms. Carter.
It's Carter over here.
Park the car and have it yard. Park the truck and have it. Yeah, never mind. Bought the gas.
So we do. Let's go through some of the main players here. Michelle Carter is the young woman who is the subject, not only the subject of this documentary, her fucking name's in the title, you know, so it definitely has the spotlight on Michelle Carter. Yeah. I think she was 17, 18 when she went to trial for this.
Yeah, I think she was 17.
17 when it happened, right? Because that was 2014. She was born in 96. So trial was 2 years ago? Is that 2017, the trial?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, because she just got jail time.
You could do this bouncer math.
Well, the director said she filmed the trial in 2017. So, yeah, that would make that, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And then Conrad Roy III is the young guy who ended up taking his life in the pickup truck in the Walgreens parking lot, which is, like, so unromantic. if you're gonna do it, like, I don't know, about a fucking Walgreens, Walmart parking lot. And then, like, his dad, which we see a lot, Conrad Roy Jr., who plays a big part of this. And I was fucking...
You think so?
I do. Yeah.
In what way?
In that he obviously had... There was a lot of trouble in that family.
Yeah.
And him growing up. And the episode 2 opens with the fight that the son and the dad had.
Yeah.
And I think, like... Anyone who grew up in, like, any kind of troubled family, like, it plays such a big part in your teenage years, you know? It's, like, it's so heavy, you know? Yeah. And I think, I thought it was really strange that they were able to get an interview with him.
Yeah, and what his dad admitted to, like, oh, I would do that again.
Dude.
But
he's like, I was a good parent.
Yeah, he was saying, I would do that because that's what happened to me.
Right.
And it's, like, this cycle that kind of continues.
Yep. Violence in family is a continuing thing. Yeah. And he was like, my dad told me if you step up and try to take a swing at me, you're going to wish you didn't. It's just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
That sounds horrible. And he's like admitting it on camera, which I always think is so bizarre.
Yeah. It's definitely a weird way to protect yourself, right? Like, if I stand up to my son, I'm not going to get pretty much. He's just like fighting his son. But really, it's like a representation of what he couldn't do to his dad. Right.
Whoa.
Like, and I really think that's why he was able to admit it. Like, yeah, see, Dad, I finally stood up to that bully, but now it's like your son.
Right.
So it's like a weird, a lot of like mental illness running in like both directions, I think.
Lots of mental illness in this. Yeah. And we learned from the defense psychologist that like both Michelle and Conrad were on heavy antidepressants.
Yeah. Peter Bregan is the psychologist's name. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Peter Bregan. Yeah, like, they're on some heavy fucking antidepressants and shit, you know, like, which I, you know, I've never taken an antidepressant, but it seems, there's so much about this, but what I always think, and it's kind of like a stand-up routine, but it's like, it's funny, like, if you take too much, like, blood pressure medicine, it will raise your blood pressure. If you take too much antidepressants, it will, like, make you depressed. Mm-hmm. It's so weird how medicine does that.
Well, they're not even saying as far as what is being said about antidepressants. They're not even saying like, oh, if you take too much, it'll cause you to be suicidal. Like, that's just the war on the label now. It's like, if you take this, it could cause
suicidal thoughts.
Yeah. The ads for antidepressants are like, symptoms include suicidal thoughts. I'm like, what did I come to you for?
Yeah. Like, can you make it so it doesn't give me suicidal thoughts?
And on top of that, their brains are not fully developed yet. And on top of that, because of the trauma, that also kind of affects your brain, not your brain chemistry, but you know, how your brain kind of processes information.
And specifically, Dr. Bregan, as to Michelle Carter, did you have an opinion of whether or not she was involuntarily intoxicated?
Yes.
And what is that opinion?
She was involuntarily intoxicated. She was taking Prozac, and she then switched to Celexa.
And are you able to pinpoint about when she became involuntarily intoxicated?
Yes, on July 2nd. She begins to help him go to heaven.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I found an article online that says involuntary intoxication is not really a super defined defense anyway. And even there was another expert that they had on the film that was like, involuntary intoxication is not technically a thing, or it's not being used in defense very often. And also it's like, they're all, I mean, they're under 18 at the time. So everything's involuntary intoxication, I guess. But yeah, she switched over from Prozac to Celexa. Don't know much about Celexa, but I now would not recommend doing that. Don't switch from Prozac to Celexa and then talk to someone.
Wait, remind me again. So I know he used that defense, but for her, as in she was intoxicated and talked to him this way?
Yeah, she was.
Oh, I see.
That was
his, I remember now. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I assume that he was a defense witness, right? He's basically everything he said was kind of in her favor. Just like, I don't know. Everything she did was crazy. She was crazy. That was like basically his excuse.
His defense was just like, she didn't do it.
Right. I do think that's right. It's normal. Totally. A sane person wouldn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what, I mean, that, you know, they pay him good money for that kind of witness footage. But so what the whole Glee thing, what'd you guys think about the whole Glee theory that came out of this? It just seems so, it's hard because it's like, I mean, I can understand that someone could be kind of basing their life on a fiction that they're in love with this TV show and these people and stuff. But like, that takes an extra step of kind of like, losing reality, losing your touch with reality and living in a fantasy world. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I have a lot of thoughts on that. I thought it was very plausible, and I was thinking more about like living online, living most of your life online, and how easy it is to have another persona, or how easy it is to lie even to yourself. Like, don't they say that there was a study done, it was just about like how likely you are to lie in emails, or to lie to about work or something like that. And they're like, you're like one third more likely to lie if it's in an email, because there's no like really accountability. Yep. So imagine like, she is very lonely. She's wanting to convince herself like, this guy loves me, and she is kind of playing this fantasy world. It's kind of like, even when you're like sexting with somebody, right? Right, guys? Like, okay, I went there. No, but it's kind of like that, like, you know, when someone's like, what are you wearing? And you're not gonna be like, oh, you know, I'm wearing my blazer. I'm actually on a bus and I'm on my way to work. What the, like, you know, you're gonna lie or whatever to have this fantasy that, you know, you want the other person, right, how you want them to see you. And I think there was a moment where, because she wanted to be liked so much, she became the person kind of that he wanted to hear from, right? And you did find out he was kind of like abusive, and the way that he was speaking to her was, you know, a little abusive.
Negging, and they said he was negging her. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess she got the ultimate neg on him. So.
And, you know, it was, I thought they brought up a good point. Like, she did, for a while, she's like, you should get help, you should get help, you should get help. And then, you know, here's somebody that you don't want to lose, you love them, and you're like, okay, well, how can I help them end their suffering? And I do think she like created this world where it wasn't that he was dying. It was that he was ending his suffering.
Right. Yeah. How in the world can you be prosecuted for murdering or involuntary manslaughter, which is what she was ultimately convicted of, for fucking texting somebody?
Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense to me.
You know what I found really interesting is I wonder if she killed herself like during this trial, would people who left nasty comments telling her to like just die,
oh, shit,
go to jail or go like be prosecuted? Because that's pretty much what you're saying is, you know, words matter or whatever.
Right.
And if this girl is so, if she, guilty. I'm just saying, like, yeah, if she did that,
right,
if she killed herself, then you would have, if she is guilty about texting and causing someone to kill themselves, then if she killed herself, are all those people on Twitter going to go to jail?
Right.
In a way, the only way to prove her innocence is if she were to kill herself, that one might argue.
Yeah, right? That's true. I mean, that's just...
we should be lawyers.
We should definitely be lawyers.
Like, if the duck doesn't float and it's obviously, you know, a brick.
Yeah. All right, Michelle, look, we're going to pivot. We got one more shot to prove
you got
your innocence.
You just prove you're crazier than they say you are.
Yeah.
We've got three super lawyers we want to bring in. They have a podcast. And,
look, we got better accents than your lawyer. That's all I got to say. California accent, yeah. They're going to take
that. But I just don't understand that mentality because, like, does not someone have personal responsibility? If you saw somebody on the Golden Gate Bridge about to jump and you just drive by, are you not complicit then because you didn't stop and help? Is that not the same? You know, it's like, it doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
It depends what you're late for. Depends,
yeah, you know. Exactly.
That's true. That is true. You're like, you know what? I do have to get to Pilates. So best of luck.
Well, on a more realistic note, and I'm sure we've come across this more than someone jumping off a bridge, but walking in the city and seeing someone shoot up, if they died and you just passed by, does that make you complicit in their murder or in their whatever suicide, because you know that could lead to them dying?
Well, and I think that's the slippery slope that like a conviction like that happens. It's like, even though I knew the outcome of this, even still when I was watching it, I was like, it's not gonna like, there's no way she can be found guilty. You know, like that's just silly, you know, because, and then we find out later on, she never fucking texted him, get back in the car.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a made up thing that the fucking press did.
The press is more
Yeah.
I watched it and I still forgot that she didn't say that.
it was all made up because of the media frenzy and people like Nancy Grace and like those kind of fuckheads.
I can't believe she's still. I thought after Gone Girl that her job was done because they were, you know, making basically that her character was the news reporter, right?
Right.
And it just goes to show you how that media hysteria can hurt cases, right? Was it like 10 months that Michelle got, or it wasn't that much time?
Oh, 15.
Right?
15 months. Yeah. It was only in February that they actually denied her appeal. So she started doing the time in February of this year.
Right.
So she was pretty much walking around. I don't know if I'd say free. I mean, how shitty would that be to be not in jail and have half the people around you think you should be? Like,
yeah.
I guess that's what OJ is living. Let's not worry about it too much. But
I mean, right. He didn't. So.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Amanda Knox, though. She's walking around and half the people are still thinking she did it.
Yeah, well,
she went back to Italy.
I know. George and I did an episode on that documentary, and people on Twitter were like, did you not do enough research? Of course she's guilty. And
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I have to wonder, I mean, this is something we can explore a little bit, is like, would it be different if they weren't blue-eyed, blonde, cute females that wore like, you know, Target clothing or whatever? Or
yeah.
Not Target clothing, but Gap. I don't know.
I definitely think she fit this mold of, like you're privileged and how could you text somebody this way? But come on, how can we say that Oh, yeah. Look. Oh, he was so frat. It's like this myth that women have to fix the men they're with or make them better or like somehow they're freaking responsible for the shitty things that they do. You know, like how many times in the news, like a shitty senator does something horrible and they scrutinize the wife like, oh, yeah, don't you have a handle on him or whatever? And in this case, it's even worse because they're saying, well, Conrad, poor Conrad, like he had so many mental illnesses or he had a mental illness and he tried this before.
Right.
And she should have known better. And how come she didn't do more? The adults in this case were not doing anything. And you're expecting this like love struck, bulimic, like,
a teenager who also has
a mental illness to overcome her own issues so that she can help him.
Amen. Yeah, right? Absolutely. And why couldn't they look at this as a cry for help on her part?
Yeah.
Like, it's like there's no nuance to that. It's like, well, nope, you were texting him and you said some shit. He killed himself. You're fucking guilty. It's like, well, maybe this was a cry for help for her. You know, for me, one of the hardest things to watch in this documentary were her fucking friends who were like, you know, she wasn't really part of our group.
Oh, my God. I watched that and I was like, I fucking don't miss high school.
Yeah.
Those fucking bitches were probably her best friends.
Yeah, and you know
they were. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, I thought that was really shitty where they're like, so you hang out with her like I didn't want to. <I know.
laughs> it made my heart hurt. Oh, I know.
If anything, that just proved her case more of like how much she wanted to belong. And I think I felt for her because she literally was telling people like, I want to hang out with you. I just feel like people don't want to hang out with me. And because she was so honest, like the teenagers almost had to reject her because then they would have to admit that they're just as insecure. Right. So if they just like shoo her away, then it's like, but I'm better than that.
Right. Yeah.
But no, like they're all insecure.
Yeah. Also, like, why did she she texted what a tantamount to the confession that that the prosecution uses is to one of these fake friends, this frenemy. She has Sam Boardman. It's like, you know, that's like the person that she, I also would hate to be like, yeah, I don't really like this girl that much. And she just confessed some stuff to me that might hold up in court. That would be a lot of pressure. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how good of friends we really are at that point, you know?
The prosecutor was also saying, like, look at her. She's just lying to her friends, lying, 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 lying. They had all these examples of where she just embellished and lied to those girls. But then their main evidence for her doing it is a text she sent to those girls, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, she was lying, lying, lying. That's true. Lying, 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 lying. Like,
yeah, they're picking their strategy. Like, they're like, no, we don't want to use any of that.
Yeah.
Because that goes to character. But this one is when she was truthful. Text is when she's fucking truthful. I got so pissed watching this documentary. Yeah. Everything about this, I'm like, the girl needs a fucking hug.
Yeah,
first
exactly.
and foremost. It sucks that Conrad Roy III fucking died. That fucking sucks. And it also sucks with a lot of times with this kind of stuff, you miss the victim of this, which is him. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, because he didn't seek help and he should have gotten help. However, it's like, you know what? This is not something that she planned. It's not something that she caused, you know, in my mind.
I think she was honestly trying, like, she knew that he wanted to do it. And this is very interesting because, like, in a couple of states, assisted suicide is legal, right? So if someone is like,
thought about that, assisted suicide,
well, like euthanasia, kind of,
I'm in such a bad physical state or health state that like I'm gonna choose to die, right? Which in some cases is more ethical than what I see in the hospital, which is families holding on to family members who are in so much pain, on drugs, getting procedures, and, you know, just living their life in pain, versus like, you know, just, hey, you know, maybe it's your time to die, and the patient wants to die. Like, let's assist in having like an ethical death versus doctors being able to say, I tried my darnest.
Yeah.
But if we can do that with when like physical health is is in peril, then I wonder if in the future you could be so mentally broken that this wouldn't be that far off. Like, this is like a also kind of a assisted suicide, in that she gave him all the options and like whatever help, and eventually at the end of the day he chose. He's the one who's like, I want to die. I don't like this world. My parents know now. I'm gonna do it anyway. And she was just trying to like at least help him do it in the most, like, I don't know, I wouldn't say moral or ethical way, but, you know, kind of help him along the journey. Like, she knows, like, she's not going to change his mind. Right. So.
Well, what the, why wasn't this, like, the kid tried to commit suicide 5 times before this? Like, where were the, what's the parents' fucking responsibility in this? Why wasn't he hospitalized and helped? Yeah. You know, like, that's insane that, like, he's having late night, not even sexual text with his, not even girlfriend. Like, yeah. I don't know what the fucking relationship is. You know, like,
who hasn't had that kind of relationship? Right? Over text, my God. Right?
Yeah. And it's, there is like a, like that. I do feel like that generation, they have relationships over social media without ever actually seeing other people. I looked into it a little bit online and I was struck by how much this actually happens. I didn't realize how much this happens with that generation of kids, you know?
Oh God, I don't think I would be able to survive as a teenager now.
Oh my God,
it's so much pressure. This kind of goes, if we look at this as like, let's say she was bullying him into it, even still, I mean, in school, we got bullied. That was not a crime, right? That's more of like a, okay, you're going to get detention or right. something.
I think that was the spin. Yeah, that was kind of the spin that this, in the media, this was sort of like, I didn't know much about this case when it was kind of coming up, but I think the things that I heard were like, oh, this girl bullied her boyfriend to death.
But that's not the case.
Yeah.
I think she was just like, I think if anything, she's just echoing what he was wanting to do, right? Whereas when you're bullying someone, you're just like, you fucking suck.
Right.
You know, whatever. Like,
well, it's like, more like, you can do it. You can do it, Conrad. Yes. I know you can.
Yeah, she was like his cheerleader.
Right. And just, you know, she picked
Heaven
the
needs
wrong
a hero.
Thing. Yeah. She picked the wrong thing to cheer him through.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, I can't
believe. Or he picked the wrong goal.
Amen. Yeah. You know? Right. It's ultimately on his. He's responsible for this stuff. Yeah, yeah. And like to throw her in with that because she was texting him. And again, she never said, get back in. That's like was fabrication.
Yeah.
She never texted. And that's what people seem to forget about this is that it was the splashy headline, but it never fucking happened. Well, and he's ultimately responsible.
Look, if you're 18 and you got your tugboat license, like what else is there to live for? I think you're going to go. It's all downhill at that point. You got your tugboat license so young.
Yeah, you've done it. You've made it. You've made it. When it comes to Massachusetts, that's like, you know, for some kids, that might be it. The ultimate goal. But like but beyond the story, the themes of this stuff are fucking legend. I mean, they're old. I mean, it's like Romeo and Juliet, you know. It's,
I was just thinking about that.
So
I will never forget my English teacher in high school. Like after we read Romeo and Juliet, she asked us to list 7 people who we thought was at fault for Romeo and Juliet's death. Right. And so I'm listing off everybody else. I'm like getting to the 6th person. Like I'm like their moms, their dads, the priest, their friend, Mercutio, like everybody else. And I'm getting to the 6th one and I'm like, oh, I can't think of I can't think of another person whose fault this is. And I think a lot of other students had this issue and because none of us thought it was Romeo or Juliet's fault.
That's interesting.
And that's like, it just goes to show you like teenagers, right? Like, but it's amazing that the adults now in this case are not looking at like Conrad himself as the person whose fault this could be, right? Like it's not like it's his fault, like he didn't speak to his parents or whatever. That's not a law, but he tried to do it before. And let's assume the best of the parents that they tried to help him in those 3 or 4 other times. Was it 5 times that he tried it?
I believe so. I think
it was like 4 other times and then this last one.
Yeah.
So let's assume that the parents tried to help him out with the other 4. he still wanted to do it, got Michelle involved, kind of manipulated her a little bit, right?
Yes.
Like, wouldn't you say he was kind of just like, hey, if you love me, you're going to let me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like,
well, I do love you.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm not going to lose you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like.
And he was definitely playing some games, like in the, yeah. the one of the moments where he's like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it tonight. And she's like, are you still there? Oh, my God. Yeah, are you still there? Yeah. Please talk to me. And he's like, I'm here.
Sorry, I fell asleep. LOL.
It's like, oh, yeah, it's like such yeah. a classic, like, spot or gaslighting.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know.
It's very, what's the word? If I do something and then you do something as different, what's that word?
Hypocrisy? Double standard?
Yeah, hypocritical. Sorry. Hypocritical of how they looked at this case and said like, oh, she just did this for attention. But I'm like, didn't he just do this for attention too? Like egging her on or leading her on to thinking that he's going to do this thing, right? In the middle of the night being like, I'm going to do it. And then not doing it. Like, isn't he getting some sort of like thrill from that?
And when I was watching this too, I was like, he couldn't have only been texting her. I mean, did he not have other friends that he was texting and being like, you know, I'm really fucking sad. I don't want to live anymore. And they're like, dude, like that sucks. Like, how about them? Like, what about his other fucking friends? You know, like it just feels like they zeroed in on her because she was like a femme fatale.
Yeah.
Oh, this country loves that kind of shit, man.
And by the way, I love her whole court look. Can we just talk about them eyebrows?
She had some serious eyebrows. Yeah.
Hero. Anyway, yes, you're right. And she like...
She's very preppy.
Yeah, it was.
And, yeah.
I didn't know what to think about. Like, she was very like serious looking, and you know, she didn't have like a lot of emotions. But I think that just goes to show you too. Like, everyone's just looking at her and how she reacted. Even though like her boyfriend killed himself. What is weird too?
That was like
is,
Amanda Knox. Yeah, that was very Amanda Knox. Like how everyone judged like the behavior that's not illegal but is weird.
Right.
Yeah, because she was hugging her boyfriend, and it's like, yeah, you want comfort in this thing. And if you don't really know your roommate, which I guess she was there for like a week or two. They didn't really know each other. It's one of those things like, oh, that's sad. And then whatever, you're like going back into your own world of reality, right?
Yeah.
It just sucks. It sucks because it's just telling men again, like, yeah, it's women's fault. Like, why can't you keep us in check kind of thing? And it's just so, so wrong. Like, she's a teenage girl. She can't even have a grasp of her own emotions. And how are you going to expect her to take care of, like, an older guy, too? Right.
And I think it talks to, like, how our legal system can't really... ascertain people's mental health. You know, it's so fucking black or white. There's not a lot of gray issue. If someone's like, well, she wasn't thinking in her right mind at the time, maybe it was a cry for help on her side, like that she's doing it, you know, like maybe her saying that to him, she might think that he was going to go to his parents and be like, well, she's thinking this, I shouldn't. They're like, well, don't, you know, like you don't know what's happening. I just can't believe that if someone's not standing next to the dude, pushing him into the fucking truck, pulling on the cord to get the fucking generator to go, like how you could ever be convicted of that. That's insane.
There was one part, and maybe I'm misremembering it, where Conrad tells Michelle, like, oh, my mom just saw window history. So she basically knows I'm going to do it. I forget. Was he lying or was that?
The mom claimed to not know how suicidal he was. So I guess that was, I think the film posits that that's a lie. Yeah.
It's hard to know.
Pardon?
I said it's hard to know, like if he was lying or if it was actually happened, but it seems like the documentary was saying it was not true. Yeah.
Right. So if that's not true, right? Imagine for Michelle, she's like, oh, well, I guess his parents know too. So let's do this. Like, I'm going to help you, right? Because otherwise the parents would have intervened.
Right? Yeah.
Which they really should have. Like, if your child is kind of like, aren't there signs if someone is suicidal? Like, are they by themselves a lot? Are they always on their phone? Are
tried
they
to commit suicide four times?
Exactly.
Yeah. There are some signs, you would think, but it doesn't seem like old pops there really gave a damn, you know, like, and it's, you know, his parents were divorced and it seems like there was already some kind of tension. Some violence in there, you know,
with like
that's so weird. It was kind of like brushed off, like that his dad was abusive. Mm-hmm. But
the mac and cheese plate. I didn't put away my mac and cheese plate. Right. So he gave me, he taught me how to put away that mac and cheese plate.
Yeah, he deserves a beating for that. I was dying to hear from Michelle. I thought for some reason they interviewed her, but you never hear from the Carters at all, right?
Nope.
In this,
you do not.
We don't hear from the parents and from her side of it.
But
I guess you don't want to say something that will.
Right. Yeah.
Used against you.
Yeah. You just want to get it and then the just like fucking move or something. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's that whole Kafka weirdness like that. It's like one of my worst nightmares is to be caught up in something like that where you're just like, God, I hope everyone forgets about this
at some point.
Yeah. You know,
I think that they were right to just not have it be a jury trial. I think they were that was the right move because I think they would have definitely lost a jury trial just based on like, at all the interviews they do near the end of all the people in the diners, it's like there's two sympathetic people. Everyone else is like, yeah, she's the devil. She did it. Yeah. She should go to jail. I can't.
Right. Yeah, because they're looking at morally. Like, morally, that does kind of suck to like egg your boyfriend on or whatever. But how is that? Should we be held accountable for making suggestions, right? Because that's like if I'm telling my friend who I know, like, let's say, I don't know, is an alcoholic, right? And
you're chanting, drink, motherfucker.
Or I tried to help them, right? And I try to be the good friend and I try to babysit them. It didn't work. And they're just like, I don't give a fuck. This is my life. I'm an adult, whatever. At some point I'd be like, all right, let's have some shots, whatever. Like, if you want to do that, let's fucking drink. I don't care if they're saying like, I'm gonna have a drink. I I could shut them up would be like, let's have some.
Just
drinks.
Enabling, right? So like, is it illegal to enable?
No, I don't know how it could possibly be.
Because at the end of the day, like, or I'm on the phone and I'm saying like, yeah, let's drink. You should just drink. Get it out of the way. At the end of the day, they could still hang up the phone or tell me to fuck off. Like, we're not friends anymore. Right. How could you do this? Right. So then it's like, all right. Yes, you're right. I shouldn't have like given you that advice. And thank you for not listening to me.
Right.
Not like, I drink. Now it's your fault because you told me I should.
I also like how the judge had a certain sense of fucking entertainment. Like he was like, well, in this part, she's innocent. Yes. But. You know, after the commercial. Yeah.
I usually don't make comments, but I really want to be in this movie more.
What a hoorah. Yeah, and then he was like, guilty, innocent. And the defense attorney's like, oh, what? Cry. Oh, yay, cry.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah. So many ups and downs. By the way, like that's what I think they did really well. Because I didn't know much about this story in the beginning, but the two-part structure, I think, works really well. Because I watched all the way through part one. I'm like, well, I think I know where I stand on this. And then by the beginning of part two, you really get everything that was left out of part one.
Yeah.
Which most of the media didn't get to.
Right. I read a lot of reviews that were like, it was too short.
Yeah. I thought there were going to be more.
Yeah. I felt like, you know, it did the job it was supposed to do. I felt like it was a complete series, but I don't know how much other than if you could get the Carter family to talk, you know.
Yeah, and that's when Netflix will just pony up enough money when she's out of jail and about like in 10 months then we'll get the Netflix one.
Okay, here we go. Game. What would the Netflix documentary be called of this?
I love you, but no, really, die.
There you go.
Just sad emoji.
Right? Oh, just a crying emoji? Oh, that's pretty
good. Yeah, the title would just all be an emoji.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be like...
dot, dot, dot. It would be dot, dot, dot. That right, would be it.
It'd be TL/DR, ROFL.
It would be like car emoji,
Oh no.
Face emoji.
Do we have a noose emoji?
Equals.
There's a smoke emoji.
Equals heart, you know.
Oh, like, that's awesome.
Yeah, oh, I think it would be that.
I think you're right. That's hilarious. Fucking Netflix. I don't know how they do it.
Oh, it should be so like a Black Mirror. You get to choose like all the paths to get to the, yeah.
Right. Man, I don't know. Like to be in it, like there's an entire generation that's growing up on social media that just seems, like my niece is 17 and she's on Instagram. I had to like, first of all, I had to unfollow her because girlfriend crazy. Like she's wearing bikinis and shit. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, you don't want to be in public accidentally scrolling through that and be like, no, that's my niece.
Yeah, it's my niece. But listen, she was doing an Instagram live once. It was like midnight here, so it's 2 a.m. in Denver. And I was like, oh, my little niece is doing an Instagram live. So I fucking logged in, and everyone looks at the computer, and she goes, oh, my God, it's Uncle Paco. Shut it down. Shut it down. I was like, no. And I backed away.
You've heard that before, though. Oh, my God, it's Uncle Paco. Shut it down. That is often your social media.
Oh, my God. I immediately texted my brother. I was like, Jesus Christ, what? And he's like, what am I supposed to do, man?
Well, I mean, I'm holding the camera. What? Let me call you back.
Oh, my God. That's
okay.
Funny.
Maybe we've been okay. Are we seeing this from like the wrong view? Like, is it that we're so old and outdated that we're not seeing the need to be held more accountable for our words online?
Fuck, you're turning the tables. I like it. Keep going.
I also think there's been cases where it's a huge problem that a lot of girls are getting bullied online or whatever. I guess in this case, it doesn't matter. Girl, boy, teenagers are getting bullied online. Like if this was happening at school, there's a couple of factors like pre-phone it was at school. So, I mean, at least you only had like, it wasn't even like a full 8 hours, right? It was just like maybe during recess because the rest of the time you were indoors. So let's say like it was like 40 minutes of intense, like I might get bullied or someone's talking to me, but it's going to be over in 40 minutes versus now you are forever like 24/7. Someone can just come at you and you don't have any time to process it. There's like a lot of the time is like adults are not present. And so then, yeah, should you be held more accountable for your words because they have a longer lasting effect? And also, it's like when warfare changed and it went away from muskets, right? Where men were like, oh, yes, this is a gentlemanly war, stabbing you. And I have one shot and one shot only, and I have 30 seconds to reload. Versus like when World War I happened and you had machine guns and now like they were like experiencing deep like brain trauma, PTSD. So is it changing now where like the kids are having like so much PTSD because it's constant rifle fire at their... their psyche, themselves. That's a long thing, but you get it.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. I think it's a valid point. I think part of the disconnect is the generational difference of like, if you're in your 30s and 40s, 50s or whatever, trying to understand what kids who are in who are teenagers today, their lives. Cause like, I don't know if there's been a generation yet that's lived entirely on social media. Like these kids are today, like, you know, like it's never quite happened before. You could say like before, like, well, I grew up, we didn't get access to cars. It's like, well, you still had bikes and we still kind of lived the same kind of lives. But now it's like, well, I live my life entirely on my fucking cell phone. It's like, we've never experienced that, you know, like it's so, yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thought of like, there are responsibilities for your actions and what you say, but it's like, if there's no direct, you know,
is it manslaughter?
It just seems way too casual of a thing, you know, where it's like, if I'm not next to you pushing you into doing something, then I don't know how you could be responsible for someone else's actions, regardless of you're like, you should do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you remember moms, you'd be like, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? Like, it's like, well, no.
Yeah, like if we all three of us just chanted in unison, kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself, and someone found this podcast episode on a guy that just jumped in a river, like, we're totally fine, right? That's what I would think. We're not going to be held responsible for that at all.
Well, this podcast has not been responsible for anything. including listens and converting people to watching documentaries.
Yeah, if we could chant anything in unison to get people to do stuff, it would be go to our Patreon.com/supdocpodcast.
Maybe you guys need to pivot and just be like the number one helping you commit suicide podcast.
Oh my gosh. The problem with that is the drop off in listenership is built in. And like, that's so, yeah, the advertising, it's like great one, you know, very good impressions for a specific demographic that will not be around to purchase products shortly thereafter.
One thing that's interesting is they were talking about how she knew that there was carbon, what is it, monoxide?
Yeah, monoxide.
In the car. So she knew about the danger and therefore she has some sort of responsibility to do something about it. But I'm really thinking about that because if she had said like, I don't know if you should do this or don't do this, and he still did it, then would she still be held responsible? Like, are you saying that like her words are so effective that like, do we have to give disclaimers to people now? Like if I'm hanging out with my friend, I'm like, by the way, I don't condone if you kill yourself in front of me. Now I have like no responsibility towards you whatsoever. Right. Because I gave you this disclaimer.
Just don't do it in Massachusetts. That's all.
It's the disclaimer generation. That's funny. Right? Huh.
Like, is he just hot drink from McDonald's?
Right. Yeah. Like, well, you didn't tell me not to. Yeah. So yeah. Well, I mean, God. Oh, my God. There's so much you could look into. Like, as far as, like, helicopter parents, yeah. You know, all the kids get participation trophies, that kind of bullshit. You know, it's, like, kind of an interesting thing where it's, like, now if you have a friend group and they didn't directly tell you not to, then they're somehow complicit in one of the bullshit things you do, which is astounding to me because I had some stupid-ass friends growing up. I can't imagine. Yeah. You know, it, like if I had to listen to them, you know, because they would tell me to do stupid shit.
What's crazy is like they did have like a 47-minute phone conversation right by the end there. And like it's like people say kids don't use a phone to talk anymore.
Right. Yeah. 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 That is true. Where'd you grow up?
We don't talk anymore. In San Leandro.
Oh, the low. Yeah, I sure do. Over in the low. Do they call it the low or the dro or either?
San Leandro.
Okay. Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Very formal.
Yep.
I feel like I learned something from this. Do you guys feel like you learned anything?
Yeah. I do. I guess it just reinforces my beliefs that, like, if you're not directly involved in that kind of stuff, you shouldn't be held responsible, I think. I mean, that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
I definitely think that someone should pay more attention to mental health. I don't necessarily think it's on the individual's friend.
Yeah.
I don't think friends should necessarily be like the line of defense, especially not teenagers. And I think that's a big ask. That's a big ask for a 17-year-old girl who has difficulty maintaining relationships and finding like a connection with anybody. That's a big ask to be like, I'm gonna put aside the fact that I really need you right now and tell you something that might like cause you to hate me. Right? He did say that too, remember? He was just like, the only thing that would ever cause me to hate you is
if you told anyone
if
about
you
this,
told
yeah.
anybody. And it's just like, well, where do I go from there?
Yeah. I think it's pretty interesting to think about the cross sections of like law and technology as all this shit goes forward. Yeah, yeah. Like we're going to see a lot more of that, especially like self-driving autonomous cars that kill people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
like who's fucking responsible for that shit? You know, like is it Tesla? Is it the
Did
person?
Did they answer that question yet? I would like to know.
I would like to know as well.
Yeah.
You know, you can bully those cars.
Maybe in the future, there's going to be a new law. It's not even going to be like, manslaughter. It's going to be
car slaughter.
Yeah. Or, I don't know.
Or tech slaughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tech slaughter. Yeah. I learned that I never want a prosecutor to read ha ha in any of my texts.
Yeah. Out she was loud. So
That's
snarky
terrible.
About it. Ha ha. Everybody.
Yeah. Like, you can really change the meaning of how you say ha ha. Yeah.
Isn't that inherently what's wrong with text messaging anyway? Is that you can misread what is being said?
Yeah.
So I want to kill myself. And like, oh, it was air quotes the whole time. He had air quotes
on it.
Right. Or what if like they misinterpret their humor? Like, because obviously I think they had like a weird, they were mean-spirited towards each other. Right.
Yeah. So. Dude, it's like, it's so indefined. I mean, I'm shocked it actually went as far as it did.
Yeah.
Like this case. It should have just been like tragedy. Fucking, that's horrible. Conrad Roy had to go through that. It's horrible that Michelle had to go through that. Yeah. Let's all go fucking our separate ways. It's crazy that the DA would bring this to fucking a trial, you know, in my mind. Let's play Cast This Doc.
Gotta cast this doc. Gotta cast this doc.
I think now is a good time to play Cast This Doc, which is a game we play where you can come up with anyone alive or dead, any kind of celebrity that might fit any of these roles if this was to be made into a biopic. George, you want to go first?
Yeah, I someone on Twitter took the one that I really liked, which is, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Cara Delevingne.
No, that's mine.
Oh, okay. Someone on Twitter did take that.
I'm telling you.
That's fine. That's you had the same thought as a bunch of people on Twitter, which is fine.
It's the eyebrows.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I don't know who she is. Tell us who she is, Florentina.
She's a supermodel.
Oh, my God.
Look at how.
Holy shit, that is her.
If Michelle just wore a little bit of makeup.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And maybe 5 or 6 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know. Wow. That's a pretty
and
good.
Skinnier and like friends. No,
yeah,
she's
total friends. Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry. I picked Billie Eilish. Not so much of the physical thing, but kind of the homeschool vibe. Very much like a representation of someone with their, you know, solitude and morphing into its own weird directions. Yeah.
God, I picked Florence Pugh.
Oh, yeah. She's so good.
Yeah. She's amazing. She was in Midsommar.
So much in this movie that's like Midsommar. Did you think
there
that?
Yeah, there is.
It's like a weirdly parallel.
I agree. Yeah, I saw Midsommar and I was like, huh, this seems extremely the same kind of thing. Yeah, which for those people who haven't seen Midsommar, I'm not sure you should because it fucking sucked.
I loved that movie. I
you did?
Midsommar.
Okay, well,
that's a bonus Patreon. Let's talk about why you disagree about Midsommar.
And then I also thought of a young Meva Savari. Do you remember? You know who she is from
American Beauty?
Yeah. Yeah, she kind of had that kind of like cold, beautiful thing going on.
Oh, I think I know it well.
Yeah.
Did you think that Conrad Roy Jr. kind of looked like a lost Kennedy? Like a wayward branch of the Kennedys?
Why do all guys from Massachusetts look like that? They have the tousled hair, you know, kind of the stern jaw.
Yeah, well, the tugboat Kennedys, you know.
Ah, the tugboat. Yeah. For the doctor, the defense doctor, Dr. Peter Bregan, Henry Winkler. A capable Henry Winkler.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Who do you think should play Conrad?
I don't know. I mean, it could be any just like unknown young man. I'm not sure. Who do you think?
I was just going to say James Franco because he hasn't been in this movie yet. And he's an
Oh, that's a good point. He should be. maybe
he did everything.
He is in everything. It's like, you know, you're 35, right, James Franco? Or he's probably even older. He's like, I could play 17. Give me a shot.
But he tries to play 17, if you know
actually,
what I mean.
I think he's already been in a movie where he's had a relationship with the teenager when he was
it's called a home
bit.
Movie right
it's called Just for Life
right exactly okay and now let's do Pitch a Doc. Do you guys have ideas of documentaries that have not been made that you would like to see? Florentina, you want to go first?
Yes, and I'm pretty sure I would be the only one watching this documentary, but it has to happen because I'm obsessed with figure skating. And I would love to see a documentary about their scoring system because it's so different than any other sport, I feel like. And I think I talked about this briefly, is in other sports, like even football, let's say, like super easy, doesn't matter which team, how able they are, if they score a touchdown, you're going to get the same amount of points, right? Like if you do like a safety kick. Is that what it's called?
Oop. A field goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, yeah.
I'm glad you asked him. I'm just standing here dumbfounded. Yeah. I have no idea.
Wait, for our trivia team, I'll handle all the
sports
stuff.
Okay, thank you. Ding, ding, ding. I do music. But like that will always be 2 points. But for figure skating, it's...
Sorry. Want some gum?
How many? Yes, master. For figure skating, it's a little different. Like, you'll have girls coming into the same competition, but they'll get scored differently. Like they'll have a different base scoring system, from each other, even though they're doing maybe like the same jump. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like a lot of overscoring, and it's kind of like doping and cycling kind of go hand in hand. This overscoring and figure skating go hand in hand. And
can you explain what overscoring is? I don't know.
So
what,
like if I did a triple axel, but I'm not as popular, maybe I'll get like 7.27 score. But let's say you're an Olympic gold medalist, that goes into account. Your base score will probably be 9 points.
Really?
And on top of that, there's this thing called like GOP score, which is like 5 above, flat 5 below. And there's like these, if you hit some criteria, but you don't have to hit the criteria. So let's say you did something where you only did 3 of the 5 criteria. The judges could be like, whoa, we'll give you a +5 rather than just, you should have just gotten a 3 or a 1 or yeah. It's
Jesus.
It's mind blowing. It's amazing.
How do people get tens? Like, how do anyone get all the same scores? Ever?
No. So that's the, I wouldn't say that's the problem anymore. Like they've gone beyond that where it doesn't limit you to just 10. It's not the same as it used to be where it's like 9.5, 9.5, 9.5. It's a little different. And it's like, oh, how did they come into the jump? So then does that, and how do they land the jump? And then what happened to the jump? But then what's really happening is now, like, if you won an Olympic medal, then you're almost expected to stay on the top. So if you do other competitions, you're getting overscored, even though your jumps could like are like really wobbly. Huh. And so if you watch a lot of it, you definitely, it kind of ruins it a little bit, right? Because you want to, it's artistic, but you also want it to be fair because it's sport. So
that would
let's
make
do
a
that documentary.
Yeah. What would you call it?
Icarus 2.0. No, I'm kidding. They were all doing steroids.
Yeah. Icarus is great.
Ice fault? I don't know.
Oh, ice fault. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good one. George, what do you got?
The fault of the ice.
Yeah. I heard about this on another podcast, but I'm like, this is like a perfect mini thing for, it would be like a great like 40-minute doc on Netflix. It's sort of like the inverse of Evil Genius. There's a guy who in 1995 robbed a couple of banks in Pittsburgh in clear middle of the day. And of course, they found him because he didn't really wear a mask. He put lemon juice all over his face because he had heard that you could make invisible ink out of lemon juice.
That's amazing.
So he just was like getting juice in his eye. So he's just like being robbed by a guy who's blinking a lot, who smells very citrusy.
What does that have to do with, he put it on his face? Why?
He thought he'd be invisible because invisible ink is made out of lemon juice.
Shut up.
Yeah, he straight up just said, the quote is, but I wore the juice. I think
I
that's the title, but I wore the juice.
Okay, but did he have a mental issue? To think that you're going to be invisible?
I wanted the documentary. I don't know why he thought that.
What was his name?
His name was MacArthur Wheeler, which doesn't seem, it seems like a bank robber's name, but like a good bank robber, you know? MacArthur Wheeler seems like.
How many banks did he rob?
2 banks in the same day.
Look, if he got to the second one, I commend him.
Yeah, yeah, no. I want to see a doc about that. The MacArthur Wheeler.
But wouldn't it really be sad if they're like, yeah, he was developmentally delayed. Like that was his issue. Would it be such a like case to crack?
we'll find out. I'm pretty sure that he, that's kind of like maybe not medically dumb, but on the borderline.
medically not smart.
Yeah, that kind of has an evil genius feel to it. Mm-hmm. You mean the documentary about the guy, that the pizza guy who put the bomb around his neck, and
they made like four episodes out of that, or five episodes. It was
something
too many.
Like that, yeah.
It was too many.
That was crazy. And I watched that. I'm like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, it's a fucked up documentary.
It's either like a genius plan or
dumb.
Just dumb, and then like dumb luck.
Right. It had an Apple Dumpling Gang kind of feel to it, where like they're just bumbling idiots, but unfortunately some dude fucking had his head blown off.
R.I.P. Tim Conway.
Yeah, indeed.
What would you call your documentary?
Yeah.
But I Wore the Juice.
Oh, got it. I like that.
There you go. The juice is loose. Let me ask you some questions, Florentina.
Oh, shit.
As we end this today, what's your hometown? We already did that, but who cares?
I was born in Romania.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, you're born in the country of Romania. Yeah. What city?
Buzău.
Mm-hmm. San Leandro, okay. Romania.
Sandro, you're a Romaniac. Like, I should give you a Romaine t-shirt.
I think so.
Is that why? Is that a big figure skating? Or are they gymnastics?
Gymnastics, yeah. Which I also love.
Person you are most mistaken for?
Francesca Fiorentini. I think I got booked on a couple of shows like my first few months of comedy. You're great. We love your political stuff.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Oh, that's fucking amazing.
And I love her so.
I know. And she did a SupDoc exactly a year ago.
That was me.
Oh, shit, it was you. You haven't left my office yet. You've been here this whole time. What is your dark secret?
I'm dating Matt Lieb. No, just kidding.
Wait, I'm not? Okay. No, kidding. Oh, gosh. Deep, dark secret. I don't know if I can say that. If I told you, I'd be on a true crime documentary.
That is true. Okay. What is a pet peeve of yours?
Oh, when people say fair enough, I fucking hate it.
Fair enough.
Is it really fair enough?
That's like when people do the thumbs up on Facebook Messenger when they're done talking.
Yeah.
It's the fair enough of emojis. Yes. Yeah. It's like, we're done. We're done with this conversation. What do you never travel without?
I never travel, without my phone.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have any pets?
Pretty lame about that. No.
What is your biggest regret?
Many.
What's your latest biggest regret?
Watching too many documentaries.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen.
I think my biggest regret is whenever I binge watch a show. Like, I like documentaries because I at least feel like I'm learning something.
You've learned something, exactly.
But yeah, with shows, just like, all right, what was the point of that?
No, that's, and who is your celebrity crush?
I don't know. Let me think about it.
Okay, you think about it.
We'll edit this.
Kara, look, her eyebrows got me thinking about her.
Yeah, those are some serious eyebrows.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so thank you. Unless you can think of your was that your celebrity crush?
Yeah, I'll say that.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for being on SupDoc.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure. Tell people where they can find you on social media.
I am at Florentific. That's Twitter and Instagram.
So smart. I hate when people don't have the same thing. It kills me.
To,
yeah. Right? Thank you.
You're welcome.
On Twitter and on Instagram, it's Florentific. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have any shows coming up in the next month or so you want to plug?
Yes, I am going to. Wait, what day is today? Friday? Yeah, tomorrow I'll be at the Englander in San Leandro.
Nice.
With Rudy Ortiz. I think it's at the Englander.
Right.
7 o'clock. And yeah, so come check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then I have a monthly show at Milk Bar every second Monday, Bottomless Standards.
Oh, awesome.
8 o'clock. Yeah.
Awesome. The tomorrow show may not happen because this might be broadcast in a couple weeks. But the monthly show at Milk in San Francisco on Hate Street. It's a wonderful show. I've been to it. You do a great job. George, what about you?
Oh, yeah. By the time this comes out, I probably will not have anything other than my monthly shows, which is first Thursday, Giant Robot Gallery in Sawtelle, Los Angeles. Third Saturdays at Real Pain Fine Arts, realpaincomedy.eventbrite.com. That's me.
Awesome. And for me, if this comes out in time, you can see me at Outside Lands Music Festival in San Francisco, August 9th through the 11th. I have my show, The Charm Offensive, at the Punchline San Francisco, August 21st. I'll be at Comedy Day, September 17th, something like that. And I'll be at Punchline San Francisco, September 11th through the 14th. Thank you guys so much for this. This was an awesome conversation. Fiorentina, thank you so much for coming
in. See how you said Fiorentina? It's Florentina.
God damn it.
I'm telling you, people mistake us.
It's in my head now. Yep. Florentina. Oh my God.
We're one in the same.
Now what? I can't think of her name now. Fuck. Oh my God. That's amazing. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. George, as always, a pleasure. Sir.
Thank you for joining our podcast for this great talk about suicide. This great hour talk about suicide.
I love you guys. Don't die.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com.
Recapping reality since 2015.
Our theme song was written by the very talented David Siegel, and our show is engineered by the immensely talented Will Scovel. And if you want to help us out, just share the show, let your friends know about it, and let your enemies know about it.
Join the Doc Talk and check out our hot takes, pictures, and videos on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We're SupDoc Podcast on all of those mediums.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It really does help.
Find Paco and George's comedy gigs on the About Us page on the SupDoc Podcast website.
If you want to advertise with SupDoc, you got a film, you got opinions, you got corrections, hit us up. We'd love to hear from you and what you're docking out on these days.
We'd love to hear from you. Email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.